Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Aaron Wentz. I'm one of your missionaries at MSU. I'm glad to be with you this morning. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs and Psalm 73. So if you'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and Psalm 73, I just want to make a quick selfish plug for a second before we get into our sermon. Starting September 21st, which is a Thursday, for six Thursdays, the Michigan School of Apologetics is coming back to Graham. It's going to be our third seminar here at Graham. So if you've missed it or you've always wanted to take it, especially teenagers and students, we're going to be talking about evidence for the Bible, evidence for the resurrection, why God allows evil, how to share your faith, how to start spiritual conversations. And so if you'd like to know more about the Michigan School of Apologetics in your bulletin or talk to me, and I'd love to have you take one of our seminars. Coming up. Well, this summer we've been talking about topics like anger, adultery, money. And so today we have another topic before we get into our new series coming this fall. When I was a child, in the 70s, we played a game called What Is It? I don't know if you guys remember that game called What Is It? But let me read a list of things to you that often we think about and ponder as Christians. And at the end, I want you to tell me, what is it? What is the topic we're going to talk about? Here's things that we often think about as people. Why do they get to be so happy? I wish I had their life. I wish I had their body. I wish I had their muscles. I wish I had their wife. Why does she have a godly husband and I don't? Why do they seem to have such a perfect family? They seem to have it all together. My life is full of pain and they're always happy. They have a nice car and mine is falling apart. She does everything so right all the time. Why does she have perfect hair? Hey, that guy has all the tools and my stuff is falling apart. Why do they have so much money? It seems like family X is always going on vacation. I've asked God to use me and it seems like he uses everybody but me. Why does God bless them and not my family? Why do they have a girlfriend and not me? No one is attracted to me. Boys like girls and not me. Why are they so popular? Why do they have so many friends? Hey, I deserve that job, not them. Why does my boss treat them better than me? Why are they so talented and I can't even do basic things? Why do they have so many kids? It just seems like God hates me. If I just had more money, I'd be happy. Hey, why does that guy's wife do everything for him and my wife doesn't? I hate it when this lady at church talks about her husband so much and my husband can't even get out of bed. I wish I were athletic. I wish I could play music. That church down the street has so many people going to it, they must be compromising. Why does my girlfriend always buy new things and I can't? Why are they so successful? Class? What is it? Envy. Yes, envy. That's a list of things that we often think about but rarely ever talk about. It's the reason why some of us here this morning might struggle with being unhappy, self-pity, and even being grumpy all the time. It's such a powerful thing that it's barely ever talked about. It's never really talked about in our small groups. But if you think about the power of envy for a second, theologians have wondered for many thousands of years, how could a perfect being like Lucifer or Adam and Eve, how could a perfect being in a perfect environment sin? Well, many theologians believe that it's envy, it's coveting, it's jealousy. It's a heart sin that all of us have. And even the Apostle Paul, I can't even fathom this, but in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, one of the godliest men that we know of, said that he obeyed all of the Ten Commandments. I can't even obeying your parents. I can't imagine that. But he said that he obeyed all of the Ten Commandments. But the one commandment he said that he knew that he had failed, that he was not good enough to go to heaven, was the tenth commandment, which is the sin of coveting. So jealousy and coveting and envy are heart sins that are so blinding that we often don't even talk about, we don't even see. So this morning, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the evil of envy, and we're going to talk about how to have freedom from envy. So in Proverbs 23 there, if you have your Bibles open, Proverbs 23, verse 17, basically says, we're going through a series in Proverbs, says, do not envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Do not envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. When I thought about that, I thought, okay, which chapter or verse in the Bible really expounds this verse? So instead of just preaching this one verse, I'd like to take you now, turn your Bible to Psalm 73. Because Psalm 73 is an exposition of Psalms 23. Do not envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. You know why I could make that list so easily when I started my sermon? Because those are things that I think about, and maybe you think about. It's an easy trap to fall into. Psalm 73 has a very dear place in my heart, and I want to tell you why at the end of the sermon. So let's read Psalm 73 together, verses 1 through 15. Truly God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. For as for me, my feet almost stumbled, for my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pains until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek in there, and they're not in trouble as others are. And they're not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fairness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice, lofty with their threats or oppressions. They have set their mouths against heavens, and their tongues struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them, and they find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, and they increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean? Have I washed my hands in innocence? For all day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. And I have said, I will speak thus, and I would have betrayed the generation of children. So in Psalm 73 here, this is a psalm by a guy by the name of Asaph. And Asaph, I think, was an American. You know, I mean, this guy, look what it says in verse 3. He says, I was what? Envious. What was he envious about? He's envious of the things that we all deal with every day in our lives. Look at what it says in verse 3. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Why do they have this? Why do they have a nice car? Why do they have such a good job? Why do they have such a good life? The prosperity of the wicked. Look at verse 4. For they have no pain until death, and their bodies are fat and sleek. The NIV says healthy. Healthy and sleek. And so it's like, why do they get to have this? Why are the ungodly? Why are so many people have such good lives, and I struggle, and I got kids with problems, and my body's falling apart? Why do they have it good and I don't? Look over in verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked. They're always at ease, and they increase in riches. It's like it's so easy to look at the world and look at others and be envious of their stuff and their prosperity and their health and their families. And verse 13 is that we can get so envious that at the end, we can throw up our hands and say, have I kept my heart clean? Is all this in vain? Is there a point to this? Why am I trying to live for God when it seems like everybody else is doing so well and they have it all together and they're prospering and they're not even following God? And here I am trying to follow God and my life doesn't seem like it's going very well. Well, the point number one is the envy of evil, the envy of evil. Why is envy such a terrible sin? Well, basically, envy is wanting someone else's life. Envy is wanting someone else's life. Instead of being happy for somebody when God blesses them, you resent it. Instead of praising God that this family or this person is doing so well, you start to get mad at God. Envy is wanting someone else's life. Envy is really comparisonitis. Envy is comparisonitis. Envy, in fact, can get so out of control that when somebody fails and someone's having a tough time, you're happy about it. Envy can even get so out of control that you begin to wish harm on somebody else, wishing that they would feel the things that you feel, that they would suffer the things that you suffer because your envy has gotten so out of control. Envy is really losing sight of the goodness and the graciousness of God. It's becoming so unthankful that you begin to wish harm on someone else. Well, let me be a little bit real and raw with you this morning. Our family has been here now for 4 years. And if you saw me and you saw our family 4 years ago, when we moved here from being missionaries in Boston to moving to Perry, Michigan, we looked okay on the outside, but we had, metaphorically, we had a bandage around our head. We had a sling, arm slings. And we walked with a limp. And I walked into a church like Graham, and I saw kids sitting with their parents. That was a miracle. I served in an inner city church for 15 years. You're never going to get kids to sit through a sermon. I saw kids, families with 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, homeschooled families, good marriages, happy homes, beautiful yards. I got invited to people's homes and beautiful homes. And I'm thinking, God, why? And I had envy. I had envy. It didn't make it right. And some of you might say, well, Aaron, that's pretty shallow of you that you would envy me, or you would envy what I have, or you'd envy my family. But can you imagine the next time at a lady's Bible study, a lady raises her hand and stands up and says, I'd like to confess a sin in my life. I envy your husband. I envy your job and your looks and your children. That would be shocking. What if a man stood up in Bible study and said, you know, I envy your wife, your wife's looks, your job, and your stuff? That would be shocking. You know, if we talked about lust and anger and pride, it's like, oh, yeah, we all struggle with that. But envy is one of those kind of sins. It's so shallow. That's maybe why we never discuss it. How do you know that you have envy? Well, if you relate it to the human race and your first parents are Adam and Eve, if you're honest with yourself, you have an envy problem. We all struggle with envy. Well, how do you really, really know you have envy? Well, maybe your personality is that you're hypercritical. You're always finding fault with people. You're always nagging. You're always picking on people and ministries and organizations. Do people get under your skin very easily? Do you complain a lot? Maybe it could be envy. Maybe your personality is self-pity. You're always unhappy. You're always unhappy with your life. You always wish you had it differently. You're always unhappy with your family. You're always feeling sorry for yourself. You struggle with self-esteem. You wish your life turned out differently. Maybe it's envy. You know who struggles a lot with envy? Is ministers and missionaries. Yes, they do. Why do they have so many people coming to their church? Why is their building so nice? Why is their ministry so successful? Why did that pastor get a book deal? I even heard one Christian leader say that you would never envy a Christian leader if you knew their thought life. It's in us. It's who we are. And if the point of the sermon this morning was don't envy, yeah, okay. It's like the core, it's the DNA of who we are. We are so screwed up that it's like breathing. It's who we are, that envy is a part of our life. So how do we even have freedom from envy? If envy is an evil, if it's an evil, if it's a sin, well, point number two, we're going to talk about how to have freedom from envy. Look in your Bibles this morning, verse 17. Here's how we have freedom from envy. Asaph is complaining, he's arguing, he's looking horizontally at the prosperity of the wicked, he's judging others, he has comparisonitis. In verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Isn't that so true? You have so many cares and problems and stuff that you're dealing with until you enter into church and you sing a worship song. And you go to a prayer meeting, you go to a Bible study, you hear a sermon, and finally your eyes are off of the world and you gaze your eyes into heaven and you go, oh yeah, Lord, I'm so sorry. We put our eyes on so much temporal stuff that we get our eyes off things that really matter. And look at what it says. Until I went to the sanctuary of God and I discerned their end. Truly you have set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How are they destroyed in a moment, swept away by utter terrors? You know how many people have envied Michael Jackson, Robin Williams, Prince, Whitney Houston? I wish I had her voice. I wish I had her body. I wish I had his talent. I wonder what Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Robin Williams, and Prince would say to us right now. I wonder what he would say to about all the envy that we've had towards them. I wonder what they would say to us right now, wherever they are in eternity right now. Well, the answer to envy is in verse 23. Let's keep reading in verse 20. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself and you despise them as phantoms, when my soul was embittered, I was pricked to the heart. I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. I mean, when God sees us, we're like snorting beasts, arguing and complaining and being bitter. God says we're like an animal snorting. That's how ugly we can get. This is the answer for envy. Look at verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you receive me into glory. Who do I have in heaven but you? That is the answer in the scriptures to envy. Many of you know that this summer I had a terrible accident. I broke my hip and I broke my leg in two places. And while I'm in my hospital bed and I saw life moving past me very quickly, I had to lay in my hospital bed and choose to remember these promises. I very easily could be envious and jealous and upset and worry, but I had to choose to lay in bed and go, God, you are always with me. God, you take me by my right hand. You will lead me. God, you will guide me. One day you will take me into glory. Who do I have in heaven but you? I had a veteran missionary just recently tell me, Aaron, the Christian life is learning the same lessons over and over again. The reason why some of you this morning continually struggle with, well, does God care for me? Does God love me? Some of you struggle with, has God forgotten about me? Dealing with envy is because we have to learn these same lessons over and over again. Why do we envy? Because we take our eyes off of heaven and we forget that God says to us, look what it says in verse 23, I am always continually with you. Who does that sound like to you? Jesus, Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. God will never leave you. God will never abandon you. He holds us by our right hand. That's God's power. That's God's authority. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you receive me into glory. When I was 23 years old, I got married in between our sophomore and junior year of college. And when we came back from our wedding, I did the math real quick, and we were short $720. Now, when you're a 23-year-old getting started in life, $720 is a lot of money. And I prayed, and I said, God, I need some help. We're short this month $720. Well, at the time, my wife and I, new wife, we worked for a millionaire company, a company and a couple in Chicago. And they, I mean, these people, they had the Joseph and Jean Sullivan Center in Chicago. They donated millions of dollars to the University of Chicago. And I was one of the people that cleaned their bathrooms. And I prayed and I said, God, I need $720. Well, like the day after I prayed that, I get a call. And it was Jean Sullivan. And she said, hi, Aaron. I heard, are you back from your wedding? Yes, we are. Oh, would you please come and help me? We're moving our offices from one. Would you please help me? And so I go downtown, big, tall skyscraper building, and I'm helping move their personal files from one office to the other. I'm seeing checks written $60,000 to organizations. It's amazing. Well, I help him for a day and a half. And at the end of it, I mean, Mrs. Sullivan was like, everything I did was awesome. She loved me. It was such a great person. And at the end of it, she hands me an envelope of money. And it was so heavy. And I was like, oh, wow. And I didn't want to, I was in the elevator. I didn't want to count it. It was embarrassing. And I finally, I had the envelope. I was waiting, waiting, waiting. And I walk into the big square outside this tall skyscraper in Chicago. And I begin to count the money. And guess how much money was in that envelope? $720. Not $700 or $740, but $720. And when the moment I counted that money, I had one of the most profound experiences with the Lord in my life. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me using His Word. The one of the most profound moments I've had in my Christian life. The moment I counted that money, I heard as clear as day, who do I have in heaven but you? I heard it as clear as day. Who do we have in heaven but you? Church, this morning, we envy so many things. We envy so many people. We envy so many people's lives. At the end of the day, who do you have in heaven but Him? Church, who do we have in heaven? We have the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we stand before God someday, He will not be our judge. He will be our Savior. When we stand before God someday, He is our mediator. He will say, Jesus will stand for us as our mediator for between God and us. And He will say, He is mine, she is mine, He belongs to them, His sins are forgiven, His past is forgotten, he or she belongs to me. Who do we have in heaven but Him? We have everything. Look at verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail. Amen? Yes, our flesh and our hearts will fail. Our bodies will fail. Your friends and your family will fail. But who do we have in heaven but you? On that day this morning, will God say to you, who do you have in heaven? Will God say to you, depart from me, I never knew you? Or on that day, will God say, welcome home, welcome home? Church, this morning, how do we get free from envy? We lift our eyes to heaven and we realize that who do we have in heaven but Him? To be satisfied with Him, to love Him, to know Him, to know that at the end of the day, when our heart and our flesh may fail, look what it says at the end of verse 27, for behold, those who are far from you will perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. We can be free from envy when we gaze our eyes to heaven more than we do, and we say, God, you are always with me. You'll never fail me. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me, and soon you will take me to glory. You think about Kyle's testimony this morning. Did you see how much of Africa is Islamic? Do you realize what you have this morning? You have everything if you have Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. He is our everything. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are so thankful that in heaven we have you. Lord, forgive us when we envy. Forgive us, God, when we compare ourselves to others. Lord, forgive us when we get angry at you or angry at others because we're looking so much at our circumstances, God. Even when our heart and our flesh fail, when we suffer, Lord, we get angry, we get frustrated. Lord, we ask you this morning for the grace of the Holy Spirit to lift our eyes to heaven and realize that of all the things of the universe, we have you. We have the one who rules all. That your promises, Lord, are great. That you're always with us. You haven't forgotten about us. Even in our trials, even in our valleys, even when we don't understand. Lord, you promised to hold our hand and to guide us Lord, and to take us to glory. Lord, what wonderful hope we have. Father, I pray for Graham that we'd be a generous, kind, thoughtful, giving church because we know who we are in Christ. Amen.